You're not getting paid till 6, just so you know.
And you're getting paid.
You want me to say it for you?
I'd like to call the regular meeting of the ZBA to order at 6 p.m. Let's all stand for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we get a roll call, please?
Board Member Butterworth.
I'm sorry, yes. I didn't hear you.
Sorry, I said Board Member Butterworth.
Yes, here.
Board Member Adams.
Here.
Board Member McNeil.
Here.
Board Member Montorsi.
Here.
Board Member Maffeo.
Here.
And alternate Hernandez is absent.
Minutes. Approval of the minutes. I've noticed just one typo. Hold on here. One that my illiterate education could find. On the second page, third page, on the motion. Anyway, we talked about, if you go down about halfway, I don't know what sentence it is, it says, as to the lifts in the garage, and I think that should be lofts, L-O-L-I-F-T-S. I don't think there was a gas station there, so. And that's the only thing I found. Is there anybody else that has
I read them and I found
no. Is everybody good with that? I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of...
Make a motion to approve.
Minutes of May 6th. Second. Motion made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. There's no executive session. So now we're going to continue our discussion on 26 ZBA 1, the owners of Thomas DeMauro and Stacy Roblinski. The applicant is Thomas DeMauro. Appeal for a January 13th, 2026 cease and desist letter of the zoning enforcement officer regarding the property at 836 Route 163, parcel ID 037022000. Okay, so we had a motion on the floor, and then we asked our attorney to draft a motion so we could further digest it, which he did. And I'm not sure if you've all have seen it. It was posted, and it's probably in your packet. We can actually hold off on that motion for a couple of seconds here. I want to just go something here. I just wanted to tell the board members, you know, what exactly why we're here. Typically, we're here to somebody wants relief from a setback or whatnot, or they want a location approval. In this case, the zoning enforcement officer, did an inspection on a property as a result of a complaint on 10/23. And before I get ahead of myself, so we're being asked to overturn her decision to see if she made an error. And just to know how this manifested itself, 10/23, there was an inspection done, a drive-by inspection, due to a complaint. The complaint was about the keeping of chickens that were roaming free on the property. And it's accompanied by some pictures of the chickens. Again, it was a drive-by, and that's the first thing she did. She issued an apparent notice of violation and a request for a voluntary compliance, and she did that on 10/30. Then on 12/5, She conducted a site inspection, and we've all heard what she found. The chickens, 30 chickens, 4 roosters, 6 ducks, a rabbit, a couple of pot-bellied pigs, 3 goats and 4 sheep, and there's a bunch of photographs of that. Then on the NOV was issued on 12-8. And at that time, she basically said you have 30 days, to complete this compliance. And I guess, obviously, that's when a cease and desist was ordered, and it was done on the 13th of January, which is about a month later. They gave him 30 days. And they requested, and she requested that, she ordered that it would be, requested it would be stopped. So anyway, on this 3rd of February, Attorney Chase I'm not sure it was on the 3rd, on the 3rd of February, Attorney Chase met with Stacy and gave her an aerial picture, and they discussed it to try to change the her mind. And anyway, what she pretty much said was, thank you for coming to the office on February 3rd, meeting with myself. By the way, I'm telling you this because we really didn't hear this information because Correct. She didn't get it, but it's part of the record, and it's obviously on the website, so it's information that we have. Thank you for coming to the office on February 3rd, meeting with myself, Director Dennis Goder, and Assistant Planner Meredith Badulka. Balucci, concerning the above-mentioned property and the ongoing violation. During this meeting, you showed us various aerial photographs of the property over various years, one of which you indicated was from 1974, and you believed it to show a possible corral. As we discussed, this photo nor others clearly indicate the type or number of animals which have been kept on the property previously. Without this information, I cannot make a determination to the potential legal pre-existing non-conforming conformity of this property. Therefore, I feel that the cease and desist order shall remain. Well, then we had the meeting, and we were presented with an affidavit of an owner who owned this property from February 16th, 93 to September 30th, 2011. And that gentleman goes on to describe that he kept various animals. So we were told, I'll go to my list, that so Stacy determined, based on her investigation, that this property was out of compliance and shouldn't have farm animals. The regulations require 5 acres or more to have farm animals. Obviously, this property doesn't have it. And we know that that regulation came up after this gentleman had animals. But you also have to realize that the current owner did not follow the person that did the affidavit. There was another owner for better than 10 years on that property that we haven't been able to get, or it hasn't. We don't have any information from that person that says I continue the use, or so we have nothing to say that use continued. For the first person that was there. The person that actually did the affidavit, he says that he had all these animals, and his mother was even there before him, Marsh, I guess is his name. So he took his animals, or I don't know what ended up happening to him. So the second person, we don't have any information. Who knows if they retained their same animals? I don't know. But what we do know, based on testimony, that the animals that are here are new animals. So a cease and desist order was ordered based on the ZEO's findings. That order was appealed, and we're tasked to review that order to determine if she made an error in applying the zoning regulations. The applicant has stated that the use was established prior to the enactment of the zoning regulations, and the use is therefore valid and pre-existing non-conforming. The applicant submitted an affidavit from a previous owner who claimed use existed for many years during their ownership. current owner did not purchase the property from the party who claimed, I know there's a little bit of redundancy here, but I'm going by bullet points, party who claimed to operate the use. The property who operated the property prior to the existing, again, there's no information for over 10 years. And in absence of the previous testimony, we can't verify that they continued or discontinued that use. The applicant does not dispute that their animals were brought in by them. Essentially, they did not take over a working farm with the existing livestock. Let's call them the new animals that arrived with or by the current owners. Does the evidence submitted by the applicant substantiate the claim of pre-existing nonconforming status? Was the use ever legal nonconforming use or just nonconforming? Was it ever intentionally abandoned? We have been told that the lack of evidence to claim legal nonconforming use means it was nonconforming and therefore an illegal use. If it was nonconforming use, then abandonment need not be determined. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to point out before we went into our discussion. And now I'm going to stand by here. If anybody wants to see any of these pictures and stuff, just let me know.
We all have them.
Yeah, they're all. Okay, so now we asked Attorney Carey to draft the motion. So for just keep it clean and for continuance of our discussion, I'm going to read this motion. I'd like to amend my motion previously and make this following motion. I move to approve the appeal ZBA 1 by Thomas DeMauro from the cease and desist order issued to him by the Montville CEO, Stacy Radford, dated January 13th, 2026, and thereby reverse said order. So I want to. He also put a paragraph in here to explain when we get to the voting, which we'll go over it again after discussion, that an aye vote on the suggested motion is in favor of the applicant, and the applicant must give four ayes. In other words, four of us must render the decision in order for him to win or to be granted to overturn her decision. And again, he also went, if you'll read his memorandum, he stated a couple of cases in order to help us have more information. And he went on to talk about the elements of non-conforming and abandonment. Now, I'm not sure, is it appropriate, Mike, for you to kind of explain this to us or not? In other words, I'm not going to read all three pages.
Yeah, I don't know that it's appropriate or inappropriate.
Okay.
If anybody has questions, I think it would be
okay
to try to address it that way.
Okay. So, what do you guys think?
I think it's kind of difficult in this day and age. We can't track down the owner before
the last person.
The last person owned it, because I looked up several online. One lives in Middletown from Montville. One lives in southern Florida.
Excuse
from
me,
Montville.
Mr. Chairman, if
yeah.
This occurred after the
I know,
hearing.
I know. If you're referring to this case, you
yes.
can't do any research other than the information that we were submitted or that's on file.
Okay, so here's the kicker there. He let us adjourn when we were still trying to ask questions, and then he told us we couldn't ask any more questions because I said I had questions, and he told you we're still in a meeting. You're still in the public portion. And it was, and so we decided to adjourn, and then this gentleman said we couldn't ask any more questions.
So we closed the public portion.
Public portion, then he said we couldn't ask any more questions.
After we closed the public portion.
Right. If he knew we had questions, he should not allow us to close that.
I didn't know that we had questions.
I don't remember this at all. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but my intention wouldn't have been to stop questions from the members. I've never really in my mind made a distinction between the hearing being open for all purposes or being open only for questions from the commissioners or the board members. So if I did that, I apologize. I didn't mean to. But
You know, I was the one that made the motion to close it, and if I knew that there was outstanding questions, I'm going to take the blame because I don't.
It was because I had them written down. I had them in the folder, but they're not here now. So, but
I also, so you guys can ask anything you want, discuss amongst yourselves or amongst the our associates here, and see if you can come up with any additional questions.
Would it be wrong for the attorney to come up here and talk?
Yes.
Okay.
They're done.
Okay. I'm getting the way I feel about it.
Yeah, you can speak up, Doug.
Yeah, I just think that this piece of land was never it was never registered as a farm under the tax assessors or anything. I mean, it was always been illegally used.
So in 1974, when the gentleman previous to the owner in question had all his animals there, he was in compliance with then?
Yes, because there was no regulation for it. So
but
he was
now, then they made regulations, but he's still in compliance because it was pre-existing.
But he had 40 peacocks, and peacocks fall under poultry, which you're only supposed to have 12.
That's today. So if it was a farm, you could have a million of them.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, anybody can apply to get that the 12, no rooster.
So the question is whether or not this was an existing farm under the gentleman that had it, and at any time he relinquished that control as a working farm, even though he did not work the farm. That's not a requirement.
I believe it follows the property.
I know. I believe you're wrong.
Yeah, I could be, but I thought that if once it's a farm, then it follows the property forever.
If you recall, the conversation was, or the statement is, if you want to abandon a non-conforming use, it has to be intentional, I suppose, is the
correct
is the language. And it doesn't matter, but it was changed. It used to be a particular period. So now we're looking at a, this is the question. The person that we have the affidavit, that's great. He didn't own it after that. The person that has the right to determine whether or not that use was abandoned would be the person that owned it in the middle, let's say, for quite a few years. And if that person had animals and he or she was going to say, oh yeah, I kept on doing it or whatever, the applicant arrives and there's no animals. So either the last person took them out, I mean, we don't have any of that information, and they did an exhaustive search, and they couldn't find them, but I know that that to be true. So here we are trying to determine whether or not this was abandoned or not. And you can look at the property, and again, the zoning regulations didn't talk about it, so I don't care if you have a square, foot or a million acres. Before zoning regulations, it wouldn't matter. But the question is, did it continue, and was it intentionally abandoned?
There's no way of knowing that.
Well, I can only tell you. Go ahead.
No, sorry, it's clearing my throat.
I thought you had something good to say. Just kidding. I can tell you that based on the CEO's opinion and her attorney, they say. They issued the cease and desist based on their research, is what I can tell you. So the town's position is it's illegal, and it should. That's why they issued the cease and desist.
I don't agree. I agree it's continued use until someone writes that this is we no longer wish to farm this land or be used as a farm.
But didn't they kind of do that when they sold it? They relinquished it.
When you what?
When they sold it and took their animals, that they were ending.
They took their animals. It didn't say nobody else could have animals.
We don't know that they said that because we can't find them.
We don't, yeah, because we can't find them. So we have to find in the direction of the people.
It could have all been saved this trouble, though, when they bought the house, they had done the research before they got the animals, instead of getting them and then finding out if they could have them.
Right.
If they had gone to zoning when they bought it, they would have been told, you can't have those. And we wouldn't be here.
It's like the roosters again. You're not supposed to have any roosters. There's four roosters.
Yeah, there's a
rooster.
You're not supposed to have no more than...
Yeah, but again, if it was a farm, you can have whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? So,
I've been mindful, John. Excuse me to interrupt, but you can't have any roosters in mindful, period.
True. You're right. Unless you had them probably before, I don't know. But I don't think we really have to worry about the roosters.
Okay,
right
so
now.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, we're going to have to make a decision on if we think this guy, or this property, rather, should be allowed to continue this use. It's nonconforming, but is it pre-existing nonconforming?
I don't really have a lot to say.
It sounds like, obviously, that's why there's a board and we have different opinions. And give me 2 seconds here. I wanted to point something out.
No, if one of the neighbors complains, that means even if it is conforming, he's not doing it properly because he doesn't have these chickens cooped up.
Well, I believe that was taken care of.
Okay, well, we don't know that.
Yeah,
well,
we do.
It was. It's in the reports. Yes, yes, he did do that.
And what about the roosters?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, on the cease and desist order dated January 13th, signature by Stacy Radford, it says, on October 30th, 2025, I forwarded a notice of apparent violation via certified and regular mail to Mr. DeMauro. Contacted me on November 4th. After receiving the notice via regular mail, during this initial conversation, you only indicated that you had chickens and roosters, but would work on rehoming the roosters and fixing the enclosure, and the chickens were kept. So he only mentioned the roosters, but to be fair, I think that's the only thing that was noticed in the beginning until the inspection followed up. But he was going to try to do something about the roosters at the time.
Where do we go through something here?
Well, I mean, you know, we can't take in any more information. Whatever we've got here, we've got to make a vote, that's all. Unless there's more questions you guys want to hash out. It's not a good one.
My question would be, what did the owner do to comply and to fix some of this situation? That would be my question. You know what I mean? It's still...
Right.
Has anything been cleared on that? Has he got rid of so many chickens? Is he taking care of the rooster problem? Those are my questions.
Right.
It's still unanswered. This is
right.
What has been done?
We know that he contained his chickens. We know that he said he was going to do something about the roosters, but that's just one part of the problem.
Right.
You know, he's got goats and he's got ducks
correct.
And he's got pigs.
Right.
And whatever.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The applicant made an extensive presentation to this board, and frankly, it's not the board's obligation to fill in cracks in whatever presentation was made. So I just point that out for what it's worth. I don't think you should feel any reluctance to vote one way or the other because or any regret that you didn't ask a question the last time that you'd like to ask now. I mean, they had their time to make their presentation, and they certainly took advantage of it.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to figure out, remember what they said. All right, well, anyway, If there's no other discussion, I guess we're going to have to vote on this thing.
And the vote is to decide.
Yeah, the vote. I'll go over that again because okay. Mike goes on to discuss, what your aye or nay means. So I'll just read the motion one more time, and then the explanation of what you say to based on your feelings or opinions. I move to approve. The 26 ZBA-1 by Thomas DeMauro from the cease and desist order issued by Montville CEO Stacy Radford, dated January 13th, 2006. January 13th, 2006. That should be 2026. And hereby reverse said order. So an aye vote means that you're going to basically allow the farm to stay if it's a farm. And a nay vote means that you're going to deny it. Do I have that right?
An aye vote is in favor of sustaining the appeal.
The applicant.
In favor of the applicant. Yes. A no vote is in favor of rejecting the appeal, denying the appeal. So the applicant needs to get 4 aye votes on this motion.
Right.
And if the applicant gets 3 or fewer, if it gets three, even though that's more than the majority, it still loses.
I understand.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're just checking to see whether a motion was ever made and seconded.
You mean on your motion? On the one that you wrote?
The one you just read is probably the one you want to go
with.
Yeah, I had that typo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did anybody second it?
Second.
Okay, he seconded it.
And you've got the correct date for the order, which was 2026.
Okay, good.
Apologize for that.
Okay, could I have a roll call vote, please?
So a nay vote is where?
A nay is for that the order holds, and an aye, the farm is approved.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Board Member Butterworth.
Aye.
Board Member Adams?
Nay.
Board Member McNeil?
Nay.
Board Member Montorsi?
Aye.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
She didn't hear you.
Aye.
He said aye. Aye, aye.
Board Member Maffeo?
Nay.
Yeah, the motion, sorry. Okay. Next on the agenda. Right.
The order is sustained, the appeal is denied.
Correct. Okay. Public hearing 26 ZBA-2, owner Drive-In LLC, applicant Sammy P. Inc. for a location approval of Connecticut DMV recycler license at 1080 Route 32, Uncasville, Connecticut, parcel ID 86-004-000. Is there a staff report to start off with?
There is, yes. It's in your packet.
Yeah, I'm going
to pull it out.
So I'll just read through my staff report. Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record.
When is it?
Can you find it?
Yes, right here. Thank you, Stacy. Okay. I'm sorry.
The Zoning Board of Appeals is acting in its capacity as an agent for the state of Connecticut in reviewing this application for a certificate of location approval for a motor vehicle recycler license K-91 for Connecticut General Statute Section 14-67G and 14-67I. Copies of those Connecticut General Statutes are attached to your staff report. A public hearing is being held for this application, but there is no requirement for a hearing in either the Connecticut General Statutes or the Moffitt Zoning Regulations. This property is located at 1080 Route 32, which operates as a drive-in theater for a number of years. In September 2025, the Planning and Zoning Commission approved a change of use to an auction facility with conditions of approval. All conditions of approval were met, and a zoning permit was subsequently issued. In April 2026, a certificate of zoning compliance was issued, and the applicant held its first auction in conformance with the PZC approval. The applicant is now applying for the above-referenced location approval to allow, quote-unquote, salvaged vehicles to be auctioned off, not dismantled. Pursuant to the application and plan submitted, the applicant has not provided a timeline that these salvaged vehicles will be allowed to remain on the property, and the plan submitted does not depict an area on the property where said vehicles would be stored. Although the applicant has stated that he only intends to, quote-unquote, auction off salvaged vehicles, the K-91 form from the State of Connecticut for Motor Vehicle Recycler License, and more specifically, Connecticut General Statute Section 14-67G, defines motor vehicle recycler business or motor vehicle recycler's yard as, quote, shall include any business and any place of storage or deposit, whether in connection with another business or not, which is stored or deposited two or more unregistered motor vehicles which are no longer intended or in condition for legal use on the public highway, or used parts of motor vehicles, or old iron, metal, glass, paper, cordage, or other waste or discarded or secondhand material, which has been a part or intended to be a part of any motor vehicle, the sum of which parts or materials shall be equal in bulk to two or more motor vehicles. Said terms shall also include any place of business or storage or deposit of motor vehicles purchased for the purpose of dismantling the vehicles for parts or for the use of metal for scrap, and where it is intended to cut up the parts thereof. End quote. Thus, not allowing for conditioning a permit for the one specific use, such as the use which the applicant has intended, which would be the auction of salvaged vehicles. Connecticut General Statute Section 14-67I states, quote, no person, firm, or corporation shall establish, operate, or maintain a motor vehicle recycler's yard or motor vehicle recycler's business unless a certificate of approval of the location to be used thereof has been procured from the board or authority designated by local charter, regulation, or ordinance in the town, city, or borough wherein such yard or business is located or is proposed to be located, except that in any town or city having a zoning commission, combined planning and zoning commission, and a board of appeals, such certificate shall be obtained from the board of appeals, end quote. This property is located in the commercial 2 C2 zoning district. Permitted uses allowed in this zone are clearly defined in the zoning regulations. This property is also located in the overlay Oz zoning district. To utilize the Oz overlay zone, an applicant must refer back to the underlying zone for bulk standards. Commercial uses allowed in the Oz zoning district are any, quote unquote, commercial uses and structures that are allowed in the C1 and C2 zone. Copies of the permitted uses allowed in these zones are attached also to your staff report. Further review of the zoning regulations shows the, quote, automobile and heavy equipment dealers as a permitted use under Section 12 Light Industrial District and not in either commercial zoning districts. Therefore, staff does not believe that this intended additional use would be in conformance with the Montville zoning regulations. By the description I gave you, the definition which I read to you for Connecticut General Statute Section 14-67G, if this board were to approve this location approval, this property, by way of a permit issued by the state of Connecticut, would allow for this property to become a junkyard, which is not allowed in any commercial zoning districts under the current zoning regulations. Staff has consulted with the town attorney, who has advised that the ZBA should consider the following when considering a location approval under Connecticut General Statute Section 14-67I. One, is there an ordinance or regulation specifically prohibiting motor vehicle recyclers in the proposed district? If there is, the analysis stops and the location may not be approved. Staff has reviewed the Town of Monville ordinances and current zoning regulations, and there is no prohibition. So, two, is the property in a zoning district where the proposed use is permitted by right or special permit? If the proposed use is not permitted, the location may not be approved. Staff mentioned previously, automobile and heavy equipment dealers is a permitted use under Section 12, light industrial, not under the Commercial 1 or Commercial 2 zoning districts. It is staff's opinion that this proposed use is not listed as a permitted use under the zoning district the property is located in, nor specifically listed in the overlay zone, which would revert back to the underlying zones. The proposed use is not specifically listed as a use by special permit. Therefore, it's staff's opinion that this location approval cannot be approved. Staff further recommends, and the state of Connecticut requires, the following be considered pursuant to Section B, Certificate of Approval for Proposed Location, on the K-91 form. And it specifically states, quote, in issuing the certification, the following was considered and no basis or sufficient reason was found for disapproval of this application. The board has taken into consideration the following. And I added comments under each one of the items that they asked that you consider. Number one was that the location is not in an established district restricted against such use as provided in Section 14-67S of the Connecticut General Statutes. The Town of Monville has not enacted an ordinance creating restricted districts within which a motor vehicle recycler's yard or motor vehicle recycler's business shall not be permitted to be established. The Town of Monville, through zoning regulations, have designated zoning districts which separate permitted uses, and this use would not be permitted in the underlying or Route 32 overlay zone. The second item they ask you consider is the nature and development of surrounding property. Route 32 is primarily a commercial district, whereas the zones are intended for businesses that provide day-to-day convenience goods and services to nearby residents. The third item is the proximity of churches, schools, hospitals, public buildings, or other places of public gathering. Although there are no churches or hospitals, the following schools and public buildings are in close proximity to the property. St. Bernard's High School is a private high school located within approximately 1.5 miles of the property. Education is offered to students from all faiths in grades 6 through 12 from New London, Middlesex, and Windham counties. The Bradley School is located within approximately 1.8 miles of the property and serves students with behavioral health challenges. Mohegan Elementary School, which is part of the Moffitt Board of Education, serves local students from grades K through 5 and is located approximately 2 miles from the property. The Palmer Academy is the Montville Alternative High School, serving students from grades 9 through 12, and is located within 3 miles of the property. The Montville Public Safety Complex is less than 0.5 mile from this property, and the Public Safety Complex allows for the rental of a community room for trainings and seminars for other municipalities. These non-residents visit any number of businesses along Route 32. I did not add to my staff report, but we also have the VFW, and we have a number of local breakfast restaurants also within the immediate area of the property. Item number four is the sufficiency in number of other dismantlers or businesses in the vicinity. Pursuant to the review of the State of Connecticut website, there are currently two recycler businesses licensed to operate within the Town of Montville. One is Ski's Garage, which is located at 996 Route 32, literally next door to the applicant's property, and the others is Yale's Incorporated, doing business as Three Mad Men, which operates at 430 Maple Avenue, approximately 3 miles from the applicant's property. And the last item they asked you to consider is the health and safety and general welfare of the public. The operation of a recycler business can definitely undermine the public health, safety, and general welfare of the public, causing environmental contamination of leakage of motor oil, antifreeze, and or gas or diesel from salvaged vehicles. Salvaged vehicles can become hazards, safety hazards, by having rusted sharp metal if they have been involved in an accident, and these vehicles can be cause for breeding grounds of disease-carrying mosquitoes, rats, or snakes because of stagnant water, which may accumulate in or around the damaged vehicles. The applicant has not shown where he intends to store these salvaged vehicles, nor has he shown any type of screening or fencing which would prevent blight or distraction from the neighboring public. Land Use and Development Director Dennis Goodyear has submitted his comments for review and consideration before this board, and a copy is attached to this staff report. I would like to, he is not here, so he did ask that I please read that into the record. So I'm going to refer to that. Dear members of the Zoning Board of Appeals, as the Director of Land Use and Development, I am writing to convey my concurrence with the findings and recommendations detailed in Staff Report 26, ZBA 2, Staff Report 1, 6-3-2026, prepared by Zoning Enforcement Officer Stacy Radford. I would like to emphasize two facts. First, under the current Town of Montville zoning regulations, a quote-unquote junkyard use is not explicitly defined or specifically listed. Such a situation is common in municipal planning, as an exhaustive list of every conceivable use type cannot be fully anticipated or codified within any zoning regulations. To that end, it is generally accepted practice in land use administration that when a use is not specifically listed, it is categorized under the most closely aligned use classification as defined by staff. In this case, Section 13, Industrial District, subsection 13.2.1, permitted uses, lists activities such as construction, manufacturing, and sanitary services or wholesale trade. These industrial categories represent the closest alignment to a junkyard within our regulations. Junkyards are inherently wholesale operations not intended for the general retail consumer, as in a commercial district. Furthermore, by Connecticut statute, a motor vehicle recycler's yard allows for vehicle disassembly. Activities closely related to quote unquote manufacturing or quote unquote construction, where the physical manipulation of heavy parts occurs. By its very nature, a junkyard contains automotive wastes and fluids that require special environmental handling, similar to sanitary services. The storage of junked, piled, or stacked vehicles presents a distinct risk of environmental contamination and negative visual impacts that could be detrimental to the surrounding properties in the neighborhood. These are activities and characteristics of uses that require separation from commercial and residential uses, and is the basis of why we divide land into zoning districts to separate incompatible land uses. Conversely, commercial districts are intended for the common consumer, characterized by low-impact operations that provide retail goods and services to the public. Our commercial zoning regulations make no mention of the industrial-type uses listed in Section 13. This clear divide between commercial and industrial classifications is a critical distinction, because the Route 32 overlay zone strictly limits utilization to a specific framework. Uses that are permitted including, quote, 14A.2 a mixture of permitted commercial uses and structures, end quote, because no similar industrial or recycler use type is permitted within the commercial districts of the town of Montville. This use is therefore prohibited in the overlay zone. From a broader planning and community development perspective, approving this location would disrupt and undermine the critical work currently being executed under our Revive and Renew Route 163 and 32 initiative. Through extensive teamwork and public outreach, the Montville community has articulated a clear, unified vision for these corridors. The cultivation of an invited, walkable sense of place that attracts sustainable investment and enhances public welfare. An active vehicle salvage and storage operation at this highly visible gateway is entirely incompatible with the good of a vibrant commercial zone, nor is it compatible with the overlay zone explicitly designed to promote mixed-use development with a residential housing of varying density. In my opinion, approving this application would establish a detrimental precedent damaging the nature and development of surrounding properties and directly contradicting the community's economic development goals. Respectfully, Dennis Goodyear. Sorry.
No.
John Felice is here on behalf of the applicant. I did include in the packet, there are two motions if the commission so chooses to move forward with a decision this evening.
But I want to hear more about these snakes. Are they going to be deadly?
So, John Felice.
For the record, my name is John Felice. I'm a licensed land surveyor from Boundaries LLC. We have prepared plans for the initial approvals that were obtained by the through the Planning and Zoning Commission in September of last year, as well as built or closeout plans, which resulted in a certificate of zoning compliance for the current use on this property earlier this spring in April, prior to the conducting of the first auction on the property. With me this evening is the applicant, Sammy Petrovsky, who is the principal of Sammy P. Inc., as well as Drive-In LLC, who is here as the applicant and owner of the property. First, I want to thank Stacy for doing a very thorough and extensive report, and sorry that you had to read all that. But I believe the information contained within that report is going to be helpful in the board's decision this evening. We would like to go on to explain our position on this a little bit further in detail and give you a little bit more history. The current facility that operates as an auction facility was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, as I had stated, in September of last year. And it was approved as a permitted use under section, I'm going to go back one page. It was approved under section 11.2.1 of the commercial C2 zoning district regulations. Section 11.2.1 is very simply stated, activities involving the sale of goods or services carried out for profit. There are other uses enumerated in that section, numbered 1 through 14, but that is a catch-all that is in the current zoning regulations, which essentially allows for any and all type of business when it's a sale of goods or services carried out for profit. So the auction facility operates under permit granted under that section, although auction facilities are not enumerated as a separate item further in the list. It was permitted under that section because it is a very broad-based, open for business regulation in your C2 zoning district. So we feel that there are a couple of things to consider tonight for the commission. One is the location approval that we're talking about, and much of the report that you just heard revolved around the underlying zoning district and whether or not the use was allowed in that district. But we would submit to the board that regulation that allowed for the pathway to move forward with the auction facility is the same regulation that would allow us to operate under a recycler's license to be issued by the state of Connecticut. The difference in use from the auction facility that exists lawfully today, and the addition of the recycler's license is essentially, although it may seem like a larger issue in a zoning standpoint, it's essentially to satisfy the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles. Vehicles that have salvage stamp titles require the seller or person handling those vehicles to have a recycler's license. The vehicles and equipment that are sold through the auction currently are sold just like those vehicles would be, but they don't require that additional license because they aren't salvaged vehicles. They haven't been stamped, they don't have salvage stamp titles, and they haven't been salvaged. But heavy equipment, trucks, trailers, all of those things are going through lawfully through the auction facility today. This would simply allow salvage stamp vehicles to be added to that. The salvage vehicles that would be sold through the auction facility are also not sold to the general public. Those vehicles are sold to licensed dealers and licensed repairers of motor vehicles that are also licensed through the Connecticut DMV. So in some ways, this location for recycler's license, if a recycler's license were to be issued, it actually creates a larger amount of oversight through the Connecticut DMV than what currently exists for the sale of the equipment and trucks and things that are going through the auction now, because in addition to that license, the applicant is also required to provide the DMV a certificate of environmental compliance to comply with all of the rules concerning motor vehicle oils and fluids and things like that that are present with salvage vehicles. So there's actually more oversight through the Connecticut DMV for salvage vehicles than there would be for the auction vehicles that are currently being included in the equipment auctions. The section of the Connecticut General Statutes, which Stacy very eloquently laid out, is section 1467I, which is the certification for location approval for a recycler license, which is what we're here for you from tonight. The property is 23 acres. It lies west of Route 32 and south of Raymond Hill Road. We know the address is 1080 Route 32. We already have a certificate of zoning compliance for the auction facility that exists today, again, under section 11.2.2 or 11.1.2 of the regulations. And we've also heard through the staff report that the town has means to determine where these recycling licenses would be restricted. And there is a section of the statutes, 1467S, which provides the municipality the authority to establish areas where these uses would be restricted. And again, as clearly stated in the zoning report and correctly stated in the zoning report, the town of Montville has not designated restricted areas for these uses, and therefore, when we go back to the consultation from town attorney, the first question was, is there an ordinance or regulation specifically prohibiting motor vehicle recyclers in the proposed zoning district? And the answer to that is no, which was clearly stated as well by the CEO. The second criteria was, is the property in a zoning district where the proposed use is permitted by right or special permit? And we would submit that, as I had stated a moment ago, section 11.2.1 of the C2 zoning regulations allows any commercial use for the sale of goods or services for profit. That's a wide open regulation that allows multiple uses, including the auction facility, which has been approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. When we go through the other criteria as to the location, there are several things to consider, as Stacy correctly pointed out, that the location is not established in a district against which has a restriction against the use. We've just discussed that. There isn't a district established in the town of Montville for that. So we would, again, submit that the use is allowed pursuant to section 11.2.1. The second one is the nature of and development of surrounding properties. Again, as identified in the report, The property immediately to the southwest does have a junkyard. It does have a salvage recycler's license present for that property, and it has existed there probably as long as I know. Many of you probably know even longer. But the biggest difference between the junkyard, as the loose term that has now been refined to a recycler's license, is that we're not proposing to dismantle anything. We're not proposing to dismantle vehicles. We're not proposing to sell parts or portions of vehicles. These are whole vehicles that would have salvage stamp titles that would be sold. I know within the report there is some discussion about whether or not the location can be conditioned for that. The applicant is more than content and more than willing to agree to a term, whether it be by condition or formal agreement to be recorded in the land records, that there would not be dismantling of vehicles on site. That's not what we're looking to do at all. Again, and it is adjacent to the other facility, and one of the other facilities in town. The third one is the proximity of churches, schools, hospitals, which again Stacy went through. There isn't anything directly adjacent to. There are schools within the Route 32 corridor, of course, but the activity as we've proposed it or would be conducted is on the auction facility, which lies well off the road. And I did bring a copy of the site plan that was submitted with the application. And you can see that the entire site and the entire area that would be used for auction or storage of these salvage vehicles is entirely fenced. And fenced even within the fence, there are areas that are segregated down for smaller secure spaces. So there is adequate protection from the public in keeping people out of this. It is fenced, and that is also a requirement of the DMV license, that the site be secure and completely surrounded by fence. That exists today for the security of the auction equipment and things that would already be placed in there for auction. The fourth is the sufficiency and number of dismantles in business. We do have the two that were mentioned. The property directly adjacent, I don't know how active that is, but they do have in excess of 100 vehicles on that site that look like they've been there for an extended period of time, and I'm sure they use for parts. These vehicles would be coming and going as they come in, and then they're sold. They would be leaving again. So, again, we're not dismantling anything. So there isn't another facility like this in the town of Montville. It's the only facility that would actually be selling whole salvage-stamped vehicles. And then the fifth criteria, the health, welfare, safe, and general welfare of the public. Again, we would submit the site's completely fenced, so it's protected from the public. In addition, because the purchasers of salvage vehicles are required to hold a dealer's license or a repairer's license, this isn't going to be the public walking in and out of the facility looking at essentially inoperable vehicles and things like that. And also to that extent, when we talk about health, welfare, and safety, the Planning and Zoning Commission approved this site for the auction sale. So in that approval, there were things that were considered. There were things in terms of security that were considered. There were things in terms of landscaping that were considered. There were things in terms of public access and adequate parking and ADA compliance for access to the building. And in addition to that, traffic was a consideration. And that was a consideration not only for the Planning and Zoning Commission, but for the State of Connecticut Department of Transportation, who approved the curb cut that's out there currently that allows access in and out of the auction facility. So from a health, welfare, and safety perspective of the site itself and the improvements that have been made on that site, that was vetted through the Planning and Zoning Commission and the State of Connecticut Department of Transportation when the auction facility was proposed for permit. So in closing, we feel as though, I have two things. We feel as though the use is permitted under 11.2.1, which clearly allows the sale of goods or services for profit. It doesn't limit items that can be sold, and it is the same regulation by which the auction facility was initially approved. And so we believe that the use is consistent with the zoning regulations. And then lastly, the applicant did consult their attorney as well. I'm going to pass this out for the board members. This memo was prepared by attorney Dorian Reiser, and it was provided to the to town staff as well.
So you make this an
town staff. And I'll read this into the record. Attorney Reiser wasn't available to be here this evening, so I was elected to played a role.
And although I'm not an attorney, I'm going to play one for tonight.
Hope you're getting paid well.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to bump those rates, I think. This memo is from Attorney Dorian Reiser. It's dated May 21st, 2026, and it's in reference to application for location approval, 1080 Route 32, Montville, Connecticut. I have been asked to provide guidance on behalf of my client, Sammy P. Inc., in connection with the processing of its application for motor vehicle recyclers license location approval at property owned by Drive-In LLC at 1080 Route 32, Montville, Connecticut, the property. Connecticut General Statutes 1467I provides that in order to establish, operate, or maintain a motor vehicle recycler's yard or business, a certificate of approval of the location must be first obtained from the board or authority designated by the local charter, regulation, or ordinance. However, in towns having a zoning commission, combined planning and zoning commission, and board of appeals, a certificate shall come from the zoning board of appeals. When acting on location approvals, the local ZBA is acting pursuant to authority in Title 14 of the Connecticut General Statutes rather than pursuant to the zoning statutes in Title 8. As such, the ZBA is acting as a special agent of the state and does not act pursuant to either municipal zoning ordinance or zoning statutes. There's case law to support that. It goes on to say obtaining a certificate of zoning approval is not a zoning matter. And when acting on a location approval application, the board is not dealing primarily with zoning, but it's performing a separate function delegated to as an agent of the state. Action on location approval require only a simple majority of the board to pass, rather than a vote of four members of the board, as typically required when the boarding is acting pursuant to Title 8, with case reference. In addition, there is no requirement that a public hearing be held on the location approval request, such requirement having been repealed in 2003. Also repealed in 2003 were any statutory standards or criteria for determining whether a location is suitable for the proposed use. In the absence of statutory criteria, it is left to the municipal zoning boards to determine in their discretion the factors relevant to the decision on whether to grant a location approval, again with case law cited. Ultimately, the ZBA must determine whether the site is suitable based on the relevant circumstances in existence at the time of the approval is sought. The intent of the statute is to permit the local board that has knowledge and familiarity with the location to analyze whether the operation is suitable for the location. The fact that a proposed use is permitted in a particular zone does not obligate a zoning board to grant location approval application. Indeed, all applications filed pursuant to Section Title 14 necessarily involve uses that are permitted to some degree, as a certificate of approval for a particular use cannot be issued if that use would violate zoning regulations. Again, with case law stated. In analyzing this request, the ZBA should first consider whether the use is permitted in the zone. The subject property is in the C2 commercial zoning district. Permitted uses broadly include activities involving the sale of goods or services carried out for profit. Query, does the motor vehicle recycler's yard fall within this category? When the definitions are not provided in the zoning regulations, courts look to common understanding expressed in the law and in dictionaries. Again, case law stated. Further, because the zoning regulations are in derogation of common law rights, the regulations cannot be construed beyond their fair import of its language or include or exclude by implication that which is not clearly within its expressed terms. When a statute is in derogation of common law, it should receive strict construction and is not to be extended, modified, repealed, or enlarged in its scope. Doubtful language will be construed against rather than in favor of a restriction. Emphasis added and citations. Motor vehicle recyclers yard businesses is defined by statute as any business and place of storage or deposit which is stored or deposited two or more unregistered motor vehicles which are no longer intended or in condition for legal use on the public highways, or used parts motor vehicles which has been in part or intended to be a part of any motor vehicle, the sum of which parts shall be equal in bulk to two or more motor vehicles. CGS 1467G. The sale of goods or services for profit is implicit in that the definition of a business. Black's Law Dictionary provides a definition of a business as a commercial enterprise carried out for profit. again with case law. Cases have given the word business widely variant meanings. Common to those decisions, however, is a distinction between an activity that is performed for the primary purpose of generating a profit to which the work business is attached in the activity that is not animated by such a purpose. Based on upon the foregoing, a motor vehicle recycler's business falls squarely within the permitted use of activities involving the sale of goods or services carried out for profit. Furthermore, the only way for a town to restrict motor vehicle recyclers' businesses or yards within their town is pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 1467S, which provides in part as follows. The legislative body of any town, city, or borough, in addition to powers conferred by the statutes or special acts upon such towns, cities, or boroughs, or the respective officials thereof, may enact ordinances creating restricted districts within which any motor vehicle recycler's yard or motor vehicle recycler's business shall not be permitted to be established. Provided in any town, city, borough having a zoning commission or town or city planning commission on board, such zoning commission, planning commission, or board shall have the authority to create such restricted districts by the adoption of the appropriate rules, orders, or regulations, and provided any ordinances, bylaws, or regulations adopted prior to October 1st, 1957, under the provisions of Section 4654 of the General Statutes, Revision 1949, otherwise valid except that they were not adopted pursuant to the procedure provided in the section, shall remain valid until altered or repealed under provisions of the section. Glad I did not write that. If the town of Montville wishes to limit the location of motor vehicle recyclers' businesses or yards, it would need to adopt an ordinance or zoning regulation creating specifically restricted districts in which the yards would not be permitted. The town has not undertaken such affirmative action. Merely omitting a specific reference to motor vehicle recyclers' yards does not constitute compliance with the steps required by statute. Connecticut law requires strict adherence to statutory provisions when limiting property rights. Upon concluding that a motor vehicle's recycler's business is a permitted use within the zone, the ZBA should consider whether it is an appropriate use for the subject property. In this regard, it should be noted that the designation of a particular use of property as permitted use establishes a conclusive presumption that such use does not adversely affect the district and precludes further inquiry into its effect on traffic, municipal services, property values, or the general harmony of the district, again with case law stated. As noted above, the zoning regulations widely permit activities involving the sale of goods for services carried out for profit, which includes motor vehicle recycling yards within the C2 zone. A conclusive presumption therefore arises that such a use would not negatively affect the surrounding area. Again, just to conclude, this site was approved under that section and permitted to be used as an auction facility. The distinctive difference in this case is that the vehicles being sold would be stamped salvage, and they would be required to be sold to licensed dealers or repairers when that time comes. So the location approval being sought, we believe, is consistent with the permitted use under Section 11.2.1, and further that the other aspects of the evaluation criteria have been vetted through the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Connecticut DOT as it relates to the facility itself and the operations therein. It is fenced, it is protected, there is adequate parking, there is adequate ADA access, and we are operating under a current certificate of zoning compliance. I will be happy to answer any questions of myself or of the applicant if you wish to ask him anything directly.
Is there a limit to how many vehicles you can have?
There is not currently a limit, no. The limitation would be based on available space.
I think a lot of concern would be an eyesore. I think that would be a big concern. Trying to clean up 32, attract businesses. A lot of people are afraid that it would deter that.
Go ahead.
Since we started...
Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Sammy Petrowski, Drive-In LLC.
Thank you.
Since we started on that project, I don't think it's an eyesore any longer. We had it full of equipment and trucks. on April 24th and 25th. It wasn't an eyesore then. We are not a scrapyard. We are not dismantlers. We do not dismantle vehicles and sell parts from those dismantled vehicles. But we need to be able to have a license to legally sell for whether it be insurance companies or finance companies or certificate of origins on equipment that don't have titles that are stamped salvage. If they are stamped salvage, we need to have a license to do it. And these are complete, have they been in accidents? Probably. Have they been flooded? Maybe. Did a crane have something fall on the crane and destroy the cab of it where it cost more to fix the crane than just to sell it for the parts that it brings? It happens. So is it an eyesore? I don't think so. I can't speak. I know that I did have one of my neighbors that is directly in a residential house that borders us. He stopped by and said, "Can I ask you what you're going to do?" And I told him exactly what I just told you. And he said, "I won't be here tonight. I wish I could speak in your favor," he said, "but I have to take care of my baby."
It's not Bob Molesky then.
I'm sorry? No. I stopped over to let him know what we were doing.
I'm just saying he would have a baby.
They are dismantlers. They have a license that says they are dismantlers.
You're talking about skis now.
Skis. Yeah. They are dismantlers.
Yeah.
And they have a license for dismantling. They do have, we're not interested in a dismantling license.
Well, it's not that. We just don't want the area to get worse. That's all. That's all.
I don't think we could say
you
that.
You can understand what we're trying
absolutely
to say.
I can. But I don't think it's worse than when I got there.
Well, not worse. Whatever you did a great job.
Thank you.
Phenomenal job, actually. How many vehicles are you going to, those vehicles going to come all the way out to the road?
The fence stops where the ticket booth was.
But what about a fence tall enough to hide a lot of
the state of Connecticut requires you to have an 8-foot high fence.
Okay, what about a fence you can't see through?
That's what they require.
Okay, that was my question.
They require you to put a fence, and we have to abide by what their regulations are.
So I got a question. It's a big site. It's pretty much the same site plan. So you didn't make any changes to your site plan to make provisions for this additional.
We have more than enough room to do.
No, I know. That's not what I was going to ask you. So you're not. So there's no. Is it a moving target? In other words, maybe it's going to be all in the back to the right, the left, or they could be anywhere. Is that pretty much what it is?
We have not. If you go quantified to where we're going to put them.
We're not P&Z, so we're probably going to just switch this and vote and have them vote on it. Just kidding.
That was for you.
Yeah, you know. The reason why I ask is if you're, we're not DMV, but as you know and as you've mentioned, they have requirements once you get your permit in order to, whether or not you're just going to be, you know, reselling these non-title vehicles. And they're going to have provisions, you know, as if you were probably going to dismantle them. So if they're going to require these fences, I would think there has to be in a location. You're not going to do 8-foot fences around the entire perimeter property.
If they require me to, I will. If they require
me. So you're saying
I don't think they're going to require that. And then this is not something that you can just really kind of wiggle your nose and have a boatload of cars and trucks and equipment that are being sold. It just doesn't happen that quick. But we want the ability to be able to legally do it.
Well, this is probably a question for the attorney, but you must know this. Does this approval go with the property? You pass it on to somebody else, and this stays.
Your approval, I believe, does go with the property.
Okay, and I know that there has been talk of potential conditions, approval with conditions.
The town can put conditions.
Yeah, but the DMV doesn't care about that.
No, they do not.
Right.
The permit is for a...
Right. You get the whole gamut, right. You can dismantle the garage.
I would like to state that, and Attorney Carey, if you can reiterate, my understanding that this, if this permit was to be issued to Sammy P.
Drive-In LLC.
LLC, that it will not go with the property. It actually, if the property terminates...
It's to the individual, the operator?
It goes to the individual, because the next person would have to come in and apply for a permit as well. That's my understanding. Can you correct me if I'm wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think the permit, there's a statute that says the permit is not transferable.
Wait a minute.
I don't think
says... Could you...
How about the location approval?
Looking for the statute. Now I can't find it. The location approval, I mean, if you can't transfer the statute, transfer the permit, then the location approval is of no...
So would the next owner have to come before the ZBA?
If they need...
They have to get a new license.
They'd have to get a new permit.
That.
I don't know whether DMV would make them come back.
Yeah, I mean, we're not given a license. That's what I'm saying. We're given...
The laws are pretty stringent with the state of Connecticut DMV. They are pretty stringent.
I'm still trying to get a driver's license.
If this gets approved, it opens up the door to much more than what you're going to do, but it still opens up the door for a lot more to be done.
Here's what I would suggest, and it's only a suggestion. As a board member of the Zoning Board of Appeals, I would make it a contingency to not be able to dismantle. Now, I can't tell you law. I'm not an attorney. I'll leave that to my engineer. But I would put that in as a condition of approval that we can't dismantle and we can't sell the parts from dismantled vehicles. And I would put a condition in there. I believe the town can uphold that. DMV won't uphold it, but the town can as a condition of approval, should you decide to approve it. I believe you can do that. I would expect you to do that. I don't have a problem with it. But I know what my requirements are to be able to sell this stuff. These vehicles, these trucks, and I can tell you that without that license, I can't sell them. And we get them, and we don't know they're salvage until they produce the title, and all of a sudden it's got this red stamp on it that says salvage. And then we have to have somebody come and get them and take them back out of there, and it happens. We don't want to do that. Now, we can't sell those vehicles that are stamped to the public. We can't do that. You got to have a dealer's license to buy them.
Just like the one on Route 3, correct, Sammy, something like that?
Yes.
I've been to these auction houses before. My cousin had a big dealership.
Yep.
So I can understand where you're coming from, and I'm sorry to interrupt, board, but if he's going to do something like that, it's not a dirty operation at all. That what's scary about us being mindful residents, I don't want it to be like down the street.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand. And by the way, they're good neighbors.
They're wonderful neighbors. But it looks like a junkyard.
Well,
and this doesn't look like a dealership. And I do not want that to be turned like that.
Well,
and I know, like I said,
that's history. That's part of Montville history.
Right.
But not the way things are done today. They're just not.
Right.
Is this a typical desire of an auction facility to obtain?
No. It's not.
Are you familiar with a place up in Franklin?
Am I?
very much so.
Franklin, yes. Mass? Franklin, Mass?
I'm kidding you. Does Richie have one of those?
No. They bought an entire company that does it.
Okay.
They bought a company called Insurance Auto Auction.
So it's done off-site someplace else.
They have them. They have sites over the world.
I'm saying your old site. They're not doing it there.
No. No, they do equipment there. But I'd rather be in Montville anyway.
What do you have for spill mitigation? How you plan on?
We have to install. There's requirements for oil. For if something comes in, you have to drain them, and that's all stuff that's required by DMV. And the regulations are very extensive. They're very extensive, and we're willing to do that.
Are you going to put a hard stand to put them on when they first get there, or like many times I've hooked many a vehicle and you pull them into some yards and they're leaking everywhere, and then they sit there. And
they put them on a stand, they drain them, and then they put them, they park them.
And they park on what?
Gravel.
Gravel?
Dirt, yeah.
What keeps the whatever's left dripping off them from going down?
While they're on the stand, you drain them. You clean them. You have to. It's required by the DMV. Listen, we didn't go through all of that. And through that entire process, to hurt the property, to hurt the neighbors, or to hurt this entire town. This town's been good to us. I can't complain about anything we've gone through since we've been here. The town has been more than welcoming. I have no qualms about that, regardless of what happens here tonight. But this is part of what we need to be a complete facility to compete with who we're competing against. Richie does this business now. They have a facility in Providence. They have a facility in East Windsor.
So you're telling me if they come up against these type of vehicles, they just bring them to the facility that is permitted to be done?
That is correct. They have a 50-acre facility in East Windsor. And we need to get a certificate of environmental compliance. It's pretty extensive. Then my attorney has to change his hat back to engineer.
How many vehicles do you...
As many as I can get and take away from those guys. As many as I can get. One thing about competition, I do like it. And I don't care how big they are. And they happen to be a $20 billion company. More power to them. They're the ones that decided to put a target on my back. I just oblige them. But it's just too much fun.
Does anybody have any questions for the applicant at this time?
I do not.
Now, I'm going to ask, it's been said, this is not a public hearing, but it is it not?
This is a public hearing.
So then I can hear in favor and opposition.
Yeah, should.
Right, because we keep talking about it. It's been mentioned that it's not a public hearing, but it's been posted and opened it up. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application?
We need to open it.
Pardon?
We need to open it to a vote?
The discussion after. We'll close the public hearing. The public hearing is open. The public hearing is open. There's no vote to keep doing this. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
There's a gentleman out there.
Oh.
Good evening. Excuse me. William Peniads, for the record. For the record, I'm here tonight as William Peniads, resident of the town, taxpayer, business person in town. I don't represent any commission as I stand here this evening. And I'll start off and say that I got the utmost respect for the Land Development Department, Land Use Development. But in this case, I look at this as a business that has come to town, cleaned up a property, and is looking to enhance their existing business. I think the town should be supporting existing businesses that are brick and mortar businesses that pay taxes, that are doing business in town, and by enhancing their business with more revenue, therefore they create more of a personal property tax base for the town, which in times like this, we need them. I'm very much in favor of the revive and renew Route 163 and Route 32. I think that's a great vision. I think those are the things that are going to set this community apart someday. But until then, the town of Montville needs to keep the lights on. And by doing that, we need to collect property taxes. And we have a business that doesn't generate school children. It doesn't generate need for public services. When they use the public services, they pay for the police at their auction. I've owned enough businesses in town and properties, and I'm familiar with the process of approvals, conditions, deed restrictions. They're all legal instruments. I don't know where anybody else is getting their information, but there's properties up and down Route 32. Some of them we can't get a buyer or a tenant in because deed restrictions have been placed on those properties that competing businesses can't come in, i.e. the old McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts. These things are placed on properties, run with the land in perpetuity, unless they're removed by someone who put the deed restriction on, I believe. I'm not here representing, you know, legal things tonight, but based on what the applicant is looking to do, and it's a catch-22, needs this license from the state of Connecticut in order to have that aspect added to the business, I think it's a good thing. And I think whether it's put on through a deed restriction that there's no dismantling, there's no recycling, they're not going to take in newspapers and glass and cardboard, I think all of that can be spelled out and either be placed in a condition of approval or placed in a deed restriction and can run with the property. And I don't think, I don't want to speak for the applicant, but I think that's an avenue that allows that business to continue in that. And I support it, and I would hope that you could find a way to make it work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak in favor? One more time.
I'm in favor.
Okay. How'd they do that? You want to speak in favor one time? I'm going to ask for opposition too, but go, and you'll be able to answer if you hear anything.
I don't know if you can put a deed restriction, but conditions can be, you can do conditions. I don't think you can do a deed restriction. The conditions I don't have a problem with. I just want to make that clear. A deed restriction, you know, in case I get into financial trouble and I go to John to borrow some money or something like that, I want to make sure he won't give me a mortgage, I'm sure, if I have deed restrictions. So I just want to put that out there, please.
Is there anyone else like to speak in favor? Does anyone like to speak in opposition? Anyone in opposition? One more time. Anyone in opposition? Okay, any questions or comments from? I know we got a couple of motions, but we're not done answering questions. I don't want to do anything out of sorts.
Questions?
Yeah, I mean, does
do any of the members have any?
Okay.
I think the concern earlier was that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to close
questions.
The public hearing unless, you know, because if we want more information, we want to collect it. Any
do you want anything more from the applicant?
Don't remember bringing this up as a motion?
Bringing what up?
Just to have this discussion.
You mean when we open the public hearing, that's begins the whole thing? But when we have our discussion, you know, to make a decision on whether or not which way we're gonna vote, right? We close the public hearing, and then it's just us. Right now, the public hearing is open. We can collect all the information we want, and we can ask questions. So the public hearing is open. We can ask anybody anything, and they can collect any information. If there's not enough information here tonight, we can continue to keep the public hearing open, and we can collect more information before we close the public hearing. And then once we close the public hearing, then we deliberate amongst ourselves.
I make a motion to continue the public hearing.
Okay. I'll second that motion. Discussion?
There's a lot of information out here that some of us don't know anything about, and we're going to make a decision tonight without reading through it all.
Okay.
You mean continue the public hearing to next month?
He wants to keep it open.
Till next month?
Yes.
Where does that keep you? Where does that put you in your time?
Well, you know, I know just, this isn't just to throw one thing out. Our next meeting, we're hoping to change it from July 1st to July 8th. Would you guys have a problem with that? Because she's going to be on vacation.
Yes.
Well, that's more than 35 days from today, I believe.
Public hearing must close within 35 days, which is July 8th. So it would have to close that night.
Okay.
Okay. So we can do it.
If you continue it, we cancel the meeting on July 1st, have a special meeting on July 8th, which is just the following Wednesday.
Right.
And it would have to close that night.
Yep. What if we don't have a quorum?
That night?
Right.
Yes.
Well, perhaps be in large trouble, but that might be a difficult. You wouldn't be able to act, obviously. I don't think this is the kind of application that, if you don't act within the set times set by the statute, will be deemed to have been approved by inaction. But since you've taken the step of having a hearing, we should try to comply with the time frames as best we can.
Well, we could make it if it's the 8th. Right?
If you get to the 8th and you get five people here, then you got...
Right.
Actually, you won't need
people.
A quorum.
It's gotta
you
be,
don't need five.
You need four?
Well, you need a quorum, whatever
right.
that
it's gotta
is.
Be, and it's got to be at least the same four, unless somebody listens to the tape.
Correct. But you don't need four votes to approve this. You just need three.
You just need a simple majority. Okay. Okay, now that we've figured that out, do we want to give the staff or the attorney any tasks to bring information to us that we might need
other
than what we've got?
I have a question. Sam, can we put conditions that, and I don't know this answer, that's why I'm asking, that this particular LLC comes in front of us every 2 years to make sure that the property is not an eyesore and everything is working and complying? And
that's her job. That's Stacy's job.
Satisfied?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And for the reason Mr. Butterworth just indicated, and also I don't think it's really within the nature of this board to do that kind of follow-up.
Okay.
Once a location approval is granted by this board, it goes to the state, and the state issues the permit. So we wouldn't be able to have them come back and say, oh, you're no longer in compliance with what we want. The state's not going to pull the permit.
Okay.
You've given them the condition.
But you could monitor the conditions.
Whether you say anything about it or
not. If there was conditions.
Yeah, if it's not. And my understanding is that Mr. P is going to have to get some sort of zoning permit for this, modification to his existing permit or something. Well, as you pointed out earlier, Mr. Chairman, when I thought you were pointing at me, this is going to have to go to PZC.
Right.
And, PZC will have, I think, a little more room to put conditions on this.
Yeah, they're the site plan people. They're going to be doing all
right,
that.
Right, and their stuff is enforceable. Now,
so it's not, if we vote in favor of him tonight, that's not a green light for him to start right away. He still has all the steps he has to go through with the town and the state, which I know the state he talked about, but the zoning has to approve this also, or approve his project.
A change of use. It would
right.
be a change of use from what he currently has.
The state is very strict.
And that's when it, okay.
Well, but the thing with conditions, There's a recent, I think it was a Supreme Court case in Connecticut. It might have been appellate court. But at any rate, the court went through the history of these statutes. Some of you have been on here long enough to remember that the legislature changed these statutes like every year for about 5 years, and no one knew what to do with them. And they're still a mess, actually. But at any rate, I bring that up because the case I looked at reviewed the case law over the last like 20 years. And indicated that there really is nothing in the statutes dealing with this that would allow conditions on a location approval. But that the court had done its research and noted, it cited a bunch of cases where conditions had been put on. They just hadn't been challenged, I don't think, in court. But my point, the real point, I think, is the essential thing about this is the state refers this application to you, essentially. You're acting as an agent of the state, and your approval is a precondition for the state granting the permit. But if you put conditions on your approval, I don't know that the state has any obligation to put those conditions in the permit itself, in the license that it issues. But I mean, you can say what your concerns are, and it seems to me that if you were to put something in an approval, if you do approve it, to the extent that this approval is based on the representation made by the applicant at a public hearing, that it would not do anything but salvage or whatever the discussion was. When I was little, my grandfather used to take me to Pandolf's junkyard all the time in Hartford. I don't know if any of you...
Was there any snakes there?
There were snakes, and there were big, scary German shepherds. And, but it was over by Dillon Stadium, kind of. But at any rate, my point is, just in the essential nature of the thing, the DMV issues this permit, and I assume enforces it. It doesn't have any obligation, I don't think DMV does, to do anything with any conditions you put on there. But if you stay, you know, if you do approve this and express this, your position that you wouldn't have approved this, but for the fact that the applicant represented that it was only going to do what they said they're going to do, I don't know enough about this to distinguish all of it. But you know what I'm saying?
And
there was mention of salvage being on the vehicles or something like that. So they're not going to take vehicles apart. That's my understanding. If you were to say that your approval is based on that absolute representation, you know, perhaps DMV will put that into the permit or take it into consideration in the future if things other than salvaging happen. But pardon me?
The applicant has stated as much that he's willing for that condition to be applied.
Right.
Said flat out that they have no intention to do anything else, I thought.
Right, right. And again, whether or not the DMV is going to honor that or incorporate it in the approval, we can always ask them whether or not that really would matter. But
well, I think if you put it in the approval that you wouldn't have approved this but for the representation that. Now, some of the DMV might not read it, might not see it, might read it and not care. I don't know that they don't have any obligation to make that a condition of their permit.
Can we make a condition?
But at least it's called to their attention. And I think they would have to give it some consideration that this was represented to you. This is what the applicant said he would do, and what he wouldn't do.
He's right.
No
you
one ever
put
says
a condition
that.
On it. The town can enforce the condition. The DMV can't and won't enforce the condition, but the town can.
I hate to disagree with somebody who says I was right.
I know.
But I think Mr. P has it backwards. I think you can't enforce the condition. You have no authority to do that. All you're doing here is saying, you know, from our standpoint, it's okay. The location is all right. Go ahead and do what you're going to do with it, DMV. I think, though, DMV, if they were to get something from you saying we only approve the location because, they might even put in their license that this is only for that. And then they
no
would
dismantling.
No
I
dismantling.
Would think that if they were willing to do that, they would be more lenient on the licensing.
I don't know how they are with on licensing. I don't have any experience, but
I mean when you're going to a salvage title, they're not meant to be junked, are they?
Sometimes often they are.
Oh, okay. So you would need that.
Car gets into an accident.
Okay.
It is determined that car costs more to fix than it's
yeah.
worth fixed.
Right.
Goes to someone like us.
Oh, and then somebody wants to buy it for parts, and they got to go.
They want to buy it for parts. They buy them, and they come to the. They have a dealer's license. They have a recycler's license. They have whatever. They have a dismantler's license, like they do.
Mm-hmm.
They buy these things. They take them out of our yard whole. And what they do after that, we don't care and don't want to care. But we don't, we're not interested in being in the parts business.
No, I was just asking because
obviously. Most of these companies that do this, actually all of the companies that do this, are not in the parts business. IAA and Copart are two of the biggest in the world. They don't dismantle and sell parts. That's not what they do. The people they sell to dismantle and sell parts. We don't. So you can, the rule, the concept has not changed. It won't change tonight.
You're just the middleman. That's all you are. You're just the middleman, and they just...
Boom. Right, but nothing's going to change here. What you have to decide, really, is whether or not you want to approve this. I had to seek legal advice. I had to. It's above my pay grade. And I wanted to make sure that there was case law in this situation. And there is. Now, do I want to do that to someone, to a town that's been as good to me as this town has? Hell no. But this is part of what we need to do to compete with who we're competing with. And this is what we're going to do.
You have another question.
Is the public hearing still open?
Yes. You want to come back up?
May I? Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to continue it, but it's still open now.
Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I will. Thank you for the record. William Pignatz, Town of Montville, 157 Simpson Lane. Based on all your discussion this evening, it's very clear DMV would issue a license to an address. Okay, and whatever is in that license when they issue it is allowed. For what needs to be done to comply with their requirements, the applicant would be required to come in with a modification request for his site plan. At that time, I believe that commission has the ability to put conditions on a site plan approval. So, you know, and again, I'm not here representing that this evening. I'm not the legal voice, but if you're going to continue this for another 35 days, it may be another way to look at it, to condition it as a safeguard to the town of Montville. I get it all day long. It's not a good place for a junkyard. Even though there's one abutting it. But to protect the town of Montville and to allow an existing business to enhance its business, I think that may be a measure. And I think that's worth looking into. Thank you.
Were you finished, Mike?
I think so.
I know they got site plan approval. It's been said about 100 times. Did they have to go through wetlands at the time?
They did not.
So they were far enough away from the water.
They are.
Okay. Any more discussion?
If you withdraw your second, I'll withdraw my motion and amend it.
Okay. Well, it was discussion, so
that's what I wanted was discussion before
okay.
we... And my questions are answered that we're not going to say yes and it goes.
Okay.
It has to go through the other steps within the town of Montville.
Okay, I think you can make a motion to withdraw your motion.
Right? I just did. You have to.
Okay,
you have a second. I make a motion we approve this plan.
You made a motion. Is there a second to withdraw your motion?
Oh,
all right, second. Okay, motion made a second. Okay, you wanted to make a motion?
We approve.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? We'll have discussion.
Second.
Okay. Motion made to, and a second to approve.
So the hearing is, hearing is closed.
Yeah, that's right. The hearing is still open. We got to close the hearing. We got to make a motion to close the hearing if you're good. I've messed up.
That's what
He made a motion, but not a motion to close the hearing.
Oh, I thought that's what. Oh.
I'll make a motion to close the. Okay. Make a motion to close 26 ZBA-2. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So moved. Okay, I want to make your motion again.
Make the motion that we approve
this recommend this
26 ZBA 2.
Yes, this project.
And there's been a second?
Do we want to put conditions on?
Yeah, but we're going to have a discussion and add those.
I second.
Okay, discussion. Okay, we can talk more, but the town has given me, it's going to find them, two motions. One is obviously to approve it, but it's a little more wordy.
But we as this group cannot put conditions on it.
We can put conditions on it as a courtesy, I think it was said. And then, you know, it is still going to be a condition. And then when P&Z gets it, they'll put some more teeth in it.
Yes. No.
It's not going to be on the DM. It's not going to be on,
right. It's going to be on our end. But can we, as if they deny it, it's going to come back to us, and we're the ones that made the recommendations.
Who denies it?
If it goes to planning and zoning, and
they, planning and zoning, and planning and zoning was to deny the application.
Correct.
To modify their site plan. Only thing you guys are voting on is the location approval.
Right.
Okay. So if you approve the location approval, it will then, they will have to come in for a site plan modification in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission. At that time, the Planning and Zoning Commission can make provisions to an approval that they give for that site, a modification that gets presented to them. They can put conditions on that approval.
Which can be enforced by the zoning officer or the Planning and Zoning Commission. Right.
But would it be prudent for us to put those conditions forward?
Here's the thing. You can put conditions on the location approval. I don't know that they're going to have any legal weight. In other words, you won't be able to enforce them, I don't think. The ZBA, as an entity, and the zoning officer won't be able to enforce them. She'll have no authority over it because this isn't a zoning decision. This is a decision in some other capacity. But what I was getting at earlier, was if you were to say in an approval that your approval is based absolutely on the representation that this use would be limited to, in other words, be no junk. It wouldn't be a parts salvage yard. It would simply be a salvage yard for vehicles brought in there in whatever condition they're brought in. If you were to say that, one would hope that DMV would take notice of that and perhaps limit the license to that use. But I can't tell you that if you put conditions on, even though the Supreme Court said that you can, or said that it was going to decide later whether you can, I think is what it said, I just can't tell you that they'd be enforceable by you in any way at all. But PZC, if it approves a site plan modification, can put conditions on it, including this one, if PZC thinks it's useful, necessary, or good. And that could be enforced. If the site plan gets approved and it says limited to salvage, no junk, and then Stacy drives by and finds out that they're doing junk, then she can go in and enforce that site plan and won't need anything from DMV to do it. Doesn't want to do scrad. I don't know enough about these things to make good distinctions. I'm going to have to rely, I guess, on the board to distinguish. But the representation, I thought, was pretty clear of what they would do and what they wouldn't do. Whether there's a difference between the words scrap and junk, I don't know. So, but just to answer the question of conceptual about the concept of putting on conditions, you can. You know, whether they end up just being dust in the wind, you know, is another matter. But you couldn't enforce them. Mrs. Radford can't enforce them. But it looks like you might get something enforceable.
And so this falls all under one license. Whole thing, scrap, everything.
No.
Can I interject for a moment?
Yep.
Again, John Felice for the record. This is a DMV license. It's not a DEEP recycling license, which is completely different. That's for bulk materials, whether it's metal, wood, stumps, brush, all that. That's a completely different license and application. That's bulk recycling. This is not that. This is DMV. It's strictly limited to motor vehicles. So that whole, you know, glass and newspapers and all that, that's not applicable here. The other part of that equation is, in terms of the site plan application to modify that site plan for the PZC, we're going to have to, in order to comply with the site plan requirements for the Planning and Zoning Commission, we will be identifying where those 8-foot fences are, what the hours of operation are going to be, what the conditions or the limitations on dismantling. That's all going to be part of a site plan application. And again, as Attorney Carey stated, those would be enforceable items as part of a site plan approval through the zoning enforcement officer. So the site plan requirements for us just to submit to Planning and Zoning require us to identify all those things, and they would be identified on the site plan.
So what he's going to be doing is a car gets towed to B&D Auto. The insurance company comes in and totals it. The insurance company now either contracted you or has another contractor and tows it to your yard for you to resell to.
And we sell it just the way it came in.
Came in.
That's correct. We are not dismantlers, and I would know the first thing how to take one apart.
If you don't mind this question, why did you come here before going to PZC?
DMV requires it.
Right. Even to apply, we have to start with the location approval. P&Z couldn't approve this without the location approval intact.
But DMV can approve the license without having your zoning in place?
The zoning officer, in this case, is going to be signing off on the DMV application. That's not going to happen until, A, the location approval is made first, and, B, the site plan approval, is done. The zoning officer has the ultimate sign off on this before it goes to the DMV. DMV won't even look at it without it.
Thank you, John. If you want, we could.
What's that? You got a question?
They're all been answered.
If you want,
thank you.
If you want, we could. You could come back at your next meeting to do the deliberations and the vote if you feel you need time.
I think we just did them.
John, I think you did a great job. Thank you.
Yes.
I don't think we need to come back.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Until there's an action from this board. We won't even be able to apply to planning and zoning.
I don't think we need to come back.
No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Nothing's going to change.
Sounds like we want to come back. Just kidding.
if you buy some wine and pizza, we might come back.
Yeah, I am getting kind of hungry, even though I already ate. Okay. We good? There's a motion on the floor to approve it. We've had our discussion. We closed the public hearing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a motion to approve. I'm just going to enhance your motion, if you don't mind. There's a motion that was written up here with all the jargon in it. It says a motion to approve application 26, ZBA2, of the owner, Drive-In LLC, applicant Sammy P. Inc., for location approval pursuant to 1467G and 1467I of the Connecticut General Statutes for a DMV recycler's license at 1080 Route 32, parcel ID 86004-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. In accordance with the planning plan entitled Zoning Location Survey, plan to accompany application for DMV location approval prepared for Sammy P. Inc., 1080 Norwich Millennium Turnpike, Montville, Connecticut, dated April 27, 2026, with the finding that the subject property is suitable for the business/use intended, with a condition of only auto salvages permitted and no dismantling shall be permitted.
You might want to just say as agreed to
as agreed to by the applicant.
By the applicant.
As agreed
DMV
to by the applicant.
And DMV will know that.
Would you adopt that motion?
I don't think your license will allow you to disassemble, will it?
I hope not.
You don't know that answer by saying that.
It will. The permit itself, the actual application, the K...
K-91.
Application forms K-70.
The license is K-91.
Right. It's specific for a recycler's license. So it doesn't specifically say that he can't operate.
That's why the conditions.
A dismantling yard.
That's what I meant by that license covers everything.
It does. It covers everything. Right.
The state doesn't segregate those two activities. We're doing that voluntarily.
Right. It's one application with the state.
And you're willing, Mr. P, you're willing to agree to that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you amend the motion to that?
Sure. Whatever.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Motion made in second. Okay. Let's have a roll call vote, please. Now, just so we understand what we're saying, an aye is an approve it. Can I get a roll call vote? Right, Mike?
There's you only need three votes to pass it.
Right, right. A simple majority.
Well, we got to vote, right?
No chicken.
Okay.
Board Member Butterworth?
Aye.
Board Member Adams?
Aye.
Board Member McNeil?
That's three. Ah, you're going to Hollywood.
I want to vote, too.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You go.
He said aye.
He said aye.
Art.
Aye.
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 Now, are you going to be selling foreign cars, too? No, right?
The insurance company gives them
Okay. I knew that. I should have asked that before.
Can you read the motion again? Just so I can hear it.
Want a copy of it?
Yeah, I
can read it. Is a copy of it? Did you give them a copy of the motions? Yeah, I just added. The conditions to the end of that.
Just has that one condition.
No. You can go. We're good. Yes. Thank you, Mike. All right. Appreciate it.
Before he goes, can I say something?
You're out of order.
It has nothing to do
You're
with
out of order, though.
I know.
Everything's done.
I know that. But can I say something, please? I don't want to go home. Can I say something, please? In September, I am doing something very foolish. I am climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Something wrong with you. So you won't need this license.
And I met a young lady next door to this property by the name of Catherine Doherty Peck.
Oh.
Who is, I guess, in charge of social services. And it is my intention to climb Kilimanjaro and seek donations for me climbing Kilimanjaro. That's going to go to social services here in Montville. I didn't want to tell you that before because I didn't want to influence you. But we want your money.
Whether you make it or not.
Whether I make it or not.
Right.
We want your money. We want it for social services, especially lawyers. We want lawyers' money.
Oh. Yeah. I have to carry a check around.
All right. Is there a... Doesn't look like we're going to have to worry about it.
So today, there was a part on CNN, which I saw for a few minutes, and there's a guy that's going to turn 90 when he's climbing Kilimanjaro.
Okay.
There's a doctor. And I don't know if I'll be him, but
That'll have to come out on their other business.
Thank you so much.
That will go under other business.
That's right. That's under other business.
So then...
There's no new business, right?
No new business.
No hold.
No.
And I'll make a motion to adjourn, but I make sure that even if we have an application, we don't need to set. I mean, you'll just push it to the next. Okay. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved.
Lisa. I knew you were going to say no on that, the farm, and I kind of felt bad because they never answered that. I was going to say no. And I figured they got the three, and I agree with you. You know, but it bothered me. He didn't stand up and say, did he make a